Appreciate the Lord letting us come this way again into His house. I don't feel worthy to stand, and I never do. And I know I'm just a nobody and a nothing as far as my flesh is concerned. But I know what's in my heart, what God gave me 30 years ago. It was real and alive, and He took it Himself and put on the inside. And called me out of death. My soul was dead. And He made it alive and gave me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what to do. And when I called upon Him, He lit up my soul. And the Bible talks about that He came into the world. The world knew Him not, came unto His own. They didn't receive Him. And He was a light of the world, and in Him was life. And this life was a light of men. And when I got born again, when I brought what He required, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, He saved me just like I was, and quickened me, made me alive on the inside, and lit up my heart and my soul with His presence. And before that, I was dead in sin, had no hope, no help. I knew about Him, and all it was head knowledge, and I was convinced of it. I had no problem knowing that He was real and alive. I seen it in my mother, my brothers, my sister-in-laws, and others in the church. And that did something to me as a little boy. I had no doubts that what they said was real because I seen it. And when you see a living faith in somebody, something that's alive in them, there's no doubt in your heart. When you see somebody that's stable and steadfast and unmovable, and I seen my mother from when I was a little boy. I'm not trying to just boast on my mother. I know my mother didn't save me. I know who saved me. Jesus saved me. She couldn't save me. And I wasn't depending on her to save me, and neither was she trying to save me. My mother knew about salvation. She knew how to get saved. She told me from a little boy. I mean, I was small, and I still remember. And she told me all the time about salvation. Son, you're going to have your sins forgiven one day. And if you want to get to heaven, and I want to see you in heaven. And I would dream a lot of times at night. And I know God was trying to speak to my heart and deal with me. And I would dream that the rapture was taking place. And I would hear stuff at night. I would hear a train. And that train would sound over on the tracks over there in Atlanta. And I would wake up. And I would look over there to make sure my mother was still in the bed, because I had a fear about dying and going to hell. And I appreciate somebody instructing me in the ways of righteousness when I was a little boy on up till I was grown, until she went out of here almost. Her mind got a little bad right there before she left. But she knew who the Lord was. She may not have remembered many names, but you could still ask her about Jesus and she would smile and she would know what she was saying, because it was down in her heart, and it was real in her alive. And that was her Savior, and she loved Him. Just like my brother back here, we know that who he loves and who he's loved all his life since he's been saved. There's no doubt about it. And I want to be that kind of example to the world. I tell you, I'm far short of what I need to be. But I appreciate the Lord taking this old wretch and making me alive on the inside and changing me and making me brand new. And I tell you, I'm praying, I'm trying to ask the Lord to increase my faith. When I read here, I want to read a little bit in the book of Hebrews. When I read here about these men and others that were here, even mentioned Rahab, talking about her faith, last of chapter 10, that's what I want. I want that type of faith. These people were totally sold out to the Lord. They had no doubts when God told them. They believed it, and God used that. And it said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And when I got justified, I didn't draw back. When I was down on my knees praying and begging mercy to God, I didn't let anything, worldly pleasure, anything that I was attached to before. Nothing in my heart and my mind was there. It was all gone, and I didn't hold anything back, and I called out on God, and that's what He wanted. And I believed to the saving of the soul. God changed my heart and made me a brand new creature. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it yet being dead yet speaketh. And what Cain offered up was his own works. He brought of his own self. Cain wasn't saved. He brought of his own fruits. Abel knew what God wanted. He had a saving faith. And he brought in what God required, and that was a blood sacrifice. He knew it. And his faith inside compelled him to do what God told him to do. And he brought this animal sacrifice, and God honored that. And it cost him his life. His brother jealous and whatever else went on out there in the field, he rose up against him and slew his brother. The devil caused put that all that in his mind and caused the first murder. And God, I'm hope that he got saved. I know God spoke to him, and he said, it's more than I can bear. After he gave God a smart aleck response, when he told him he had to leave, he said, this is more than I can bear. And God set a mark on him. And he went out into another land. But Enoch, same way, by faith he was translated. He pleased God by his testimony. God took him out. I believe he was the seventh from Adam, and God took him out. And it said, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of things as not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark, the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. God called him out as a young man. He was saved, and young for him. It was, I think he was 75 years old. He lived to be 175. But he called him out of that place, and he brought him into a land, and stayed a few years, I guess, in there, up in the north of Israel, and then brought him down after his dad died, brought him down into the promised land, and I think it was about 75 years old, but by faith he sojourned in this land, in the land of promises, in this strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And I'm sure back in his own land they had everything set up, and probably was everything they could won. Everything was at a convenience for what it would be at that time. But when God called him out, he left. And he said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Though through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And she herself, I believe, was right at 90. And God made her a promise. He came by Abraham, was sitting in his tent, and he had, before that, had talked to him about it, and made the covenant with him of circumcision. And then a little bit later, came back by the tent and confirmed that, and told him that he was going to bear a child within the next year, about this season. And Sarah laughed, but she but still believed, and I believe she was rejoicing in her heart, because it was unusual news for somebody that age. But she believed. She was past age. Her womb was dried up. His seed was gone, but she still believed. And therefore sprang even as one, and him as good as dead, and as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And they said, we're not, this world's not our home. We're just strangers and pilgrims down here. And we're doing what God tells us to do. We're obeying, and you lead us about, and we'll move on and do what you have us to do. And they declared plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful, they had, from that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But he said, now they desire a better country. There is a heavenly. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. But by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his own begotten son. And God tried him and spoke to him and called him and brought him up and told him to take him up in the mountains of to a certain place, and he'll tell him when he gets there in the mount of Moriah, around those mountains. And he left, and he took his men with him, and they went up to this place, and he told the men that were there. He knew what God had done for him all along, knew he had made him a promise, and thy seed shall all nations be blessed, and he was going to make a nation out of him. And he did not take the child of the bondwoman. And I thought about that as I was reading. And back in there, the lady that Sarah gave her handmaiden, Hagar, and that wasn't Abraham's doing, that was her. And she didn't trust enough at that time, but nevertheless, Abraham went in unto her and bore a seed, and Ishmael, and that was not the seed of promise. But Abraham believed, and as he got older, the Lord told him he was making a mockery at when Isaac was weaned. And God told him to do like Sarah said and send him away. And I know it broke his heart. This was his son, and he loved his son. But yet, by faith, he told him, he sent him on away. And he did that because God told him. And then he said, accounting that God was able to raise him up, talking about Isaac again, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He was the seed of promise, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He's saying he knew that God could raise him up from the dead, whence he also received him in that figure. He brought him from a dead womb and dead seed, and he went on and he did what God told him to do. He told the men, he said, I'm going to go up here, we're going to sacrifice, and men, my son will return unto you again. And he went up and he put the wood on his back and took the knife and the fire and took him up, and he laid out built the altar, and then laid out the wood, put his boy on the wood and tied him up, and he was about to kill him and was going to kill him and would have burned him, but God called out to him and told him that he's got a sacrifice. And he looked over, and there was a sacrifice in the bushes for this instance, but the sacrifice that God gave was his only begotten son. And in a sense, this was like the same as salvation. God gave his only begotten son, and the wood was put on his back, and he went up Golgotha's hills for our sin. And the seed came right down through Isaac to Jacob, and the conquering seed came right down to David and right on down to Mary, and she bore our Savior. And I appreciate God having mercy, and he included the Gentiles. And he made that promise, told Abraham, all that's in your household, whether they be strangers or whoever, he said, you circumcise them. And the Bible talks about the circumcision. The Jewish people are still blinded in part until this day. And they have a veil between their eyes and the Lord. And they still see themselves as self-righteous. They have circumcision. They have Moses' law. But yet that's self-righteous. And God gave the word through Paul that somebody that's saved and born again, salvation is circumcision in the heart, whether they be Jew or Gentile. When you get saved and born again, it's not in the flesh, but it's in the heart. And that's what happens when you get saved and born again. God cuts out of unclean nature on the inside and makes you a brand new creature in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. But he said, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And he pulled up his feet into his bed, and he died after he blessed them, and he went on out. And by faith, Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. He told Moses to take his bones out of here. Don't leave him down here in this place. When y'all go out, y'all are going, just like God said, and take my bones out with you. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They didn't fear the king, but their faith was in God, and they hid him. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, when he was grown, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. And he chose that over all the things he could have had. He was like a prince in Egypt, but he chose to suffer with his brethren. And because the Lord had used his mother to instill the word of God in him as a little boy. He didn't get that when he was old. His mother, his sister went down when they put him in the water. And she said, I know a woman that'll nurse him for you. And they took him, and they took him back to his mother. And she didn't not withhold her peace. She spoke to him and told him about the Lord and what God done. And about his great-great-great-great-granddaddy, however far back it goes, Abraham on down to Isaac and Jacob and right on down, and put that faith in his heart. At some time, I believe, before this time, Moses was saved as a young man. And when it come time, he may not have said too much about it, but when it come time, he chose to suffer with his people, and because he loved God, and God used him. He was a mighty man, and he had a lot of love. And he many times he said just you know, to don't destroy these people. He found they, God was going. He said, I'm going to wipe every one of them out. And he got down on his knees. He said, don't do that. And the Lord, he made intercession for him, and the Lord heard his cry. And he didn't. But at times God had to bring judgment down on him, and some, a lot died at different times. But Moses always, even though they wanted to stone him and do things to him, they were always rising up in rebellion and wanting this and wanting that and speaking out against him and wanting to kill him and Aaron at different times. But he still loved the people, and he had a heart full of love. And I've heard other preachers say that God was, I know that wasn't pleasing to God, that when he struck the rock the second time, God didn't want that. But I believe that his mission was over. I believe when he, all those people, my brothers preached that, all the millions of people, that several million, I guess, that were there, judging them from day to day, day after day, like a bunch of little kids, and looking over them and trying to judge them and help them and everything else, he was just wore out. And then when he did that, and then that wasn't God's will for him to do that, but God said, it's that's enough. I'm taking you on out. And God buried him and put his body. The Bible talked about the devil disputing with Michael the archangel over his body, but God buried him and took him on home. And he was a faithful man. He was a real man of love. And I would like just to be just a part of that. It said he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. And what a statement. And he said, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He did exactly what God told him to do, which he did all along. He made sure everybody got the blood and did exactly just like God had laid out. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. They couldn't do it because they didn't have faith. Moses, they were chasing the children of Israel. They went right on into the dry, and on the dry land, just like the Israelites did, and God drowned them, but brought the walls down. The walls were up as they, or children of Israel, were walking through. Moses told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and he held his rod out, and the waters parted hither and thither. The winds came in and held up those walls, and they went right through, and it dried up the ground. They passed by on the other side. And when the Egyptians went in, God drowned them. And just like he told Pharaoh, he said, it always makes my heart feel good. And when he told him, he said, if you go, leave. He said, he was saying, I'm going to kill you. He said, you, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. And Moses said, you said one thing, right? He said, you'll not see my face again. And he went out, and God took care of the situation and drowned him, and made a name for himself throughout all the world. Just like he said, he didn't want Pharaoh to die and go to hell, but he knew Pharaoh would never get saved. He knew that he would die in his sins regardless where he was at because of the way he was. And that was a destination according to foreknowledge, predestination according to foreknowledge. God didn't send him to hell. He seen everything that happened. He could have repented. If I'd have seen that, I believe I say that, but I believe it would have scared me enough to get down and call out on God and beg mercy. All those things, but he could have repented too, but he didn't. And he said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not. And when she had received the spies with peace, and she took them in. She wasn't worried about what the king said, like over James. She was already saved. It said she was justified. Was it not shown that her works were made, her faith was made perfect by her works? And they worked together because she was already saved. She believed it, and she took them in, not worrying about what the king said. Because when she heard and knew what had already happened, she repented, and God saved her and gave her a new heart. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me for to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and of Jephthah, of David, also in Samuel, and all the prophets. And I was also reading about David, and I love that. And I know when I was little, my mom read me a lot about David. And I was reading, and as he was coming through the certain things, and on the backside of the desert, I believe he was a young boy, he got saved, just a little fella, and his heart was different, and there was something special about his heart, even at that young age. And when Saul did what he did, and Samuel come to anoint the next king, he came in, and God told him, he said, you go, they're the sons of Jesse. And he brought forth the first one that was a firstborn. And then Samuel looked at him, and he said, in his own mind, he said, man, this has got to be him. And God said, no, don't look on the outward appearance. He passed by all the boys. He said, is there any more? And he sent for David, and David brought him in. Jesse brought his boy in, David, and Samuel anointed him to be the next king. And I believe when he was standing, when God sent him, and David didn't go down there to see the battle. His brother, the same one, the first one that God rejected, he said when he came in, his father sent him down and said, I want you to go down and take this stuff and check on your brothers. I want a message and see what's going on. So he went down just like his father told him, because he was a faithful young boy, left the sheep with a keeper, and then he got there to the battle, and he left his what he rode in on with somebody there. And then he went down, and his brother, when he was asking about the giant, he said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. He said, and you're basically you're just full of pride. And I believe his brother was still thinking about Samuel, how he had anointed David, and what a good man David was at that young age, and God's spirit was in him, and God was using him. And he was jealous about that and annoyed him. He must have been saying it a lot. He said, what have I done now? But regardless, he turned away. And he asked again. And he went down just like God put in his heart to do. And he went up and he rehearsed that before King Saul and told him about what the giant had to say. He said, I'll fight with him. And he said, you're a youth. And this man's a man of war from his youth. And he told him about the lion and the bear that took the sheep from the fold. And he said that he went out. And I was thinking about that. It didn't say anything about what he had in his hands. But it did say he smote him. He said, I smote him. And then I reached up and I grabbed him by the beard. And I smote him and killed him. And I believe it was just like Samson. I believe whatever he had. But he was face to face with them. And he smote them. And God's power come on him. Whatever he used, he smote them and took those little sheep out of that lion and that bear's mouth. And he took it back because that was part of what his responsibility was. And God was preparing him for this great battle. And then Saul he said, let me give you this. He put his helmet on him and a coat of mail and put his sword and everything else. And it said, David is saved to go. He said, I'm not proved this. And he put it aside. And then he went down by the brook, took him up 5 smooth stones, put him in his little shepherd's bag, and took his sling and his staff, and he went out to meet him. And then here come their champion, and that was their hero. That was their whole battle for him. And this was the devil, and full of the devil. This man was in his mind and demonic. And he disdained David, looked upon him like he was nothing. And he spoke out and defied the armies of the living God, like David said. He told him, he said, am I a dog that you're coming into me with a staff? He said, come on. He said, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, this day I'm going to take your head off from you. God had already told him. And he said, and then we're going to feed the whole host of the Philistines to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David stuck his hand in his shepherd's bag, took out the rock, and slung it, and God guided that rock. And it said it sunk down into his forehead. And it didn't just hit him in the forehead and kill him. It went down into his brain, I believe. And this man, it said he fell over. David had no sword. And just like David told him, he said, "I'm going to take your head." And he went over there and took Goliath's sword, cut his head off, and put his armor in his tent. And he went up to Saul with that head in his hand. And David was a man of faith. He loved the Lord. God used him mightily. And he was went out. I was reading as he went out, the people loved him, and he behaved himself wisely, even though King Saul hated him after a while because the devil was taking his mind. And Saul was a saved man, but the Spirit of God had left him. And he just really wanted to kill David. He tossed a javelin at him several times, but David still behaved himself wisely, and he went out among the people because he loved them. Not just to look good. He didn't do that to make a name for himself. He went out in and out among the people because he loved people. And he loved their souls. And God used him to be the greatest king there ever was as far as man's concerned. And he was a real man, mighty in battle. And the things he did, the battles he fought, and at the time, even later on, when he made his mistake, he was out on the balcony looking at another man's wife, and it got in his flesh. And the man tried to tell him, "This is another man's wife." And he said, "Fetch her." And he did. And then they ended up having a baby. And he tried to get his the husband to go down to her. And he wouldn't because he was a godly man. He loved the host of Israel. He loved God. He wouldn't go into his wife. And then David murdered himself. But the sword didn't depart from the house. But after all that, even when David was... The news came to him, and Nathan told him and put it right in his face, "You're the man." He I believe Psalm 51 was written from that. He got forgiveness, but other things happened in his household. All the wives he had, as his servants seen that, his kids seen that, and it got down into them. The one brother raped his half-sister, and then he didn't want to have anything to do with her, and then Absalom took him and slew him and left, and then David wouldn't see him, and that did something to him, and then he came back, and finally he wanted to kill his daddy. The devil had taken his mind and the rebellion that he had, and it showed, and a man is not to have long hair. That's a sign of rebellion, and I know that to be a fact. The Bible tells us, and Paul said that, not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. I wore my hair long myself. And it was a sign of rebellion. And I grew my hair. Everything that I did was rebellious. But this boy was rebellious against his daddy, drove him out of Israel. And he came back. God brought him back. And he ended up dying in sin and going to hell because of his daddy's problems. And I don't ever be guilty of anything that like that. I want to set the example for my family and everybody around me, everybody God's put on my heart. I want to set the example for all the people that I work with, everywhere I go. I want to set the example that they might have somebody to look at because they're in sin. And I tell you, if I hadn't had somebody, I know when I was young, like I told you before, I went to a private school, supposed to be a Christian school. And these people that run the school were supposed to be saved and born again. But I didn't see nothing in them. I didn't see any difference in them than anything in the world. They spoke about the Lord, and the things they did was not what I would consider saved. They may have been, one or two may have been, but I didn't see any difference in them. But I tell you where I did see a difference is when I got home. I seen somebody that was really born again, and that did something to my heart. It sets the example, and we're to lead by example. And that's what I want to do. I want to see everybody get their sins forgiven. I don't want anybody dying and going to hell because the Lord's already paid the way. The price is paid. And if you go there, you'll go there on your own. God made the way for us. And He wants to see you saved and born again, everybody. He said, "Who and all these people we listed, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I tell you, today it's good to be saved. It's good to be born again. And the one thing that is always preached to you as a young person or an old person, if you never had your sins forgiven, and though you think you may have, that's something you need to search out and seek out, because this is the place that's the preparing place. And if you leave this world without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, you'll die and go to hell. And I don't want that. I'm praying for you. I'm wanting to see everybody in here get their sins forgiven that's not saved, that's not born again. And I know if that was me, I would want somebody to tell me. Like my buddy, I did get to call him. And he says he was talking about over in the book of Galatians. He said he read that. And I asked him about his salvation. He said, I read the book of Galatians and several years ago, and talking about where Paul was addressing what the type of people that won't enter into heaven. And I told him all that's what that saying is, yes, that is the type, but that's from the heart, the murders and everything else that comes along that Paul's listing out there. That's coming from the heart. And somebody can be a murderer. Somebody can be a drunk. Somebody can be a dope addict. Somebody can be whatever and fall back out into sin. But that don't unsave them. But when it comes from the heart, you've never been saved. If you can enjoy those things and you've never got forgiveness for those, all the things that linger in the soul, when you're dead in trespasses and sin, all that's inside the soul. You're capable of doing anything in this flesh. But when you're not saved, you have no help. And you're empty. And all those things come from a soul that's dead. And when those things are on the inside, you have no guilt. You have a conscience. But it's not coming from within the heart. And if you fall to those type of things, and you can still enjoy worldly music, you can still enjoy smoking, cussing, drinking, anything that's not right, that God's not put His seal of approval on, and you can enjoy them, and you don't have a condemned heart, then you've never been saved. You never had your sins forgiven. And you'll end up dying and going to hell. And you got to search that out. You got to seek that out. Before I got saved, I went to a church, and my brothers always preach the Baptists didn't do anything for me. Now they are the ones that that we know that has the biblical doctrine, this King James Version doctrine. But the Baptist there was a Baptist church. They put me on the church roll. I said a little prayer and shed a few tears. Got down and got up, and they said, "Do you believe in Jesus?" I said, "I do." And they said, "Well, you're saved." They got the whole church to come around and shake my hand. And then I sat down. They pinned my name on a piece of paper that said whatever the name of the church was. I can't even remember it anymore. And then they baptized me in the lake. And I was still the same old man. I got home. I told my mother. I said, "Well," I said, "I guess I can do what I want to now. And now that I'm saved." And she said, "That don't sound good." She said, "When you're saved, when you're really born again, you don't make those kind of statements." And then I walked off, and she was right, because it wasn't long after that, I was back in my old mess again, and struggling to find some kind of peace, some kind of satisfaction, because I was still empty. And I got out even worse than ever before. I got in with another group of guys. Like I said, I started out with some beer. I was afraid at first. I had a fear about that type of thing. I didn't want to die. But I was riding around. We was riding around. And then a few weeks went by, and I saw, well, you know, we're in a we're in a car here, and I ain't had a wreck yet, so maybe I'll try a little. So I tried a little beer. I said, well, this stuff is nasty. But after a few beers, I couldn't taste it. And then the buzz came. I said, whew, that's good. That's what the devil told me. And then after that, not long after that, then came the whiskey. Then came the harder liquor. Whatever the proof is, it was almost pure alcohol. And me and one other boy, pretty much, it was sometimes five nights a week, drinking. And I'd come home, I'd throw up. I'd throw up at work. And I thought I was having me a good time. And then smoking dope and everything else. Just got lax and other things. And just got to be, it was worse. But I had never gotten saved. I wasn't condemned about it. I thought I was having a good time. But you don't have to go out that far as things. I ain't getting into anything else. But you don't have to get out as far as I did to not be saved. You could live a life of a good, great moral person. Love your neighbors, be a good worker, take care of your family, and everything that you want to do. But that's good. But until you get your sins forgiven, you'll not get to heaven. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that's not of the second birth, that's of the Spirit. And when God gets a hold of your heart, when you come to Him, and you can't come to Him until He bids you come. No man come to the Father but by the Son, and the Spirit of God has to draw him. And when you come to Him in that place, when He calls you, like He called me on King Road, and I'll never forget it. My heart was so heavy, I was broke, and I was ashamed of myself when I got to church. I'd already been going to church for 9 months, and I was listening. It wasn't like when I was little. My heart was tuned in on what my brother was saying. And he was sounding real good to me. I'd go over his house. I went downtown to see him, and when he was working, because I wanted to hear something. I needed something, and I was empty, and I needed some kind of comfort. And I went downtown to see him, and he was always the same. But that night, after those months of listening, he said, "When you sought him with the whole heart, he'll be found of you." And I got in, and I came in that church that night. My head wasn't coming up. I was ashamed. I spoke to people, but I had shame on me. And my heart was broke, and I sat on my bench, and nobody had to come out and tell me, come on down to the altar. And when God told me that, God spoke to me through the Word. And my heart was broke already. And then when He gave the invitation, I knew what I had to do. I'd had enough, and I just came down to the altar. And I didn't care what nobody thought about me. I wasn't talking to nobody but God. I didn't say nothing out loud. But I said, God, have mercy on me. Don't let me die in this condition. My heart was broke. I was crying. There was tears. And I didn't care if nobody seen it or not. But I poured out my heart and I begged mercy. And when I did, when I got to that place, I felt it when it came into my heart. There wasn't no doubt. All those sins were gone. All the shame and the reproach and everything that all that garbage that I'd done all those years, that guilt was gone. I was a brand new person, and I felt like I was floating. And I got up and I went back, sat on my bench, and I was listening to my brother, but I was also, the Lord was speaking to me. He said, "You go home." He said, "You get everything you got that you know about it, and get it out of your house." And I mean, I went straight to my house. I was whistling. I was in my little truck, mowing him. I think may have rode with my brother. I can't remember if they had a car at that time. But I went straight to the house, and I got a big garbage bag and multiple garbage bags because I had a lot of junk hidden in my parents' house in their closet because I was an idiot. And I don't have no problem telling that. God forgave me for it, and I was an idiot. Everybody knows it, how I acted. And my buddies really knew how I acted. But I got home, and I got all that gone. And I was a man. And this time, I didn't go back out into the world. I told my buddies, they called me, "Are we going here, there?" I said, "No." I said, "Won't you come go to church with me?" But none of them took me up on it. But I'm still praying over them. But what I'm saying is, until you really see yourself for not being saved and you really want God above life itself, you can't come to Him until you're broken, contrite in your heart. You got to be born again. And God's got to break your heart for you. And you got to see yourself for what you are and realize that you're not saved and that you are a sinner and that you're going to die and go to hell. And that's what I did. and I'm better than nobody else. I'm not being critical. I love you, and I want to see you in heaven. I'm the least of the brethren. I'm the least of unsaved people. There's people that have great morals, but my flesh stinks. And then it's capable of doing anything the vilest of sinners do. And I don't ever look upon myself as anything. I have to ask the Lord every day, God, have mercy on this old wretch. God, help me. Have mercy. Give me more faith like these men had. Increase my love. Give me an abundance of love. You can have everything, all the gifts, Paul said, everything that's offered and everything that God gives out. But if you don't have love, there's nothing to it. And that's what I want. I want compassion for souls. I want love for people. Because if it wasn't for the Lord saving me, I'd probably be burning in hell today. Because I had a little mother and my brother back here and my sister-in-law's other praying for me. And could have got killed many times, like I said. I don't even remember getting home a multitude of times, driving home from 20 miles out and couldn't even hardly stand up. But somehow I made it home, driving home in rain, snow, dark, everything else. But God kept his hand on me. That's a miracle. And that's an answer to prayer. And I never got pulled over. I'm shocked that the police didn't get me. They took me in one time. And that was because me and a couple of boys were public drunks. And all I could think about was, oh no, my mama's going to die. She's going to have a heart attack. And I was sick. I wasn't trying to get out of jail, get out of trouble. I was worried about my mother. And I said, she's going to have a heart attack. And ended up, we knew the sheriff's daughter, and she talked the deputies in. They let us go. But it probably would have been better if we'd have been caught. And I could have, well, it probably wouldn't have done any good anyway. But I appreciate God having mercy on me and letting me see myself for what I was. And finally seeing myself and coming to myself and just like the prodigal came back and poured out his heart to God, and the Lord had mercy on him and saved him. And he did the same for me. He'll do the same for you. And I want you to look at yourself today. If you have any inkling, like I told you before, when I got saved, for even though I knew it, I had no doubt in my mind that I was saved. I felt God's presence when I got saved, and I felt it after. Even when I was praying, I felt God's presence. But I said, God, have mercy on me. Don't let me die if I'm not saved. Save me. I prayed just like I wasn't for several months. I said, God, forgive me. If I'm not saved, forgive me. Have mercy on me and save me. And that's how I started out my prayers. And then, but he let me know. And then he made manifest what he wanted me to do in different ways. But I appreciate God having mercy. I love y'all. And I wish it could have been better. I know I'm not anything, and I don't claim to be. But I was real weak when I got up here. And I don't know why. But I feel a bit better now. And I'm the Lord's helped me. He does heal. He touched my back. And I've said that before. And I don't know why I didn't ask him to. I didn't deserve it. But for 8 years, my back was in bad shape. And I've been out in public before several times and fell because of twisting a certain way. But God touched my back. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm just thanking God for what he done and what he can do. And other things, he's healed many people here before. And I know he's going to do something for my brother back here too on his physical. We're looking for the revival, and we're looking for souls to be saved. And there's nobody getting saved outside of the Lord. And when that's what David told him. We know he talked about that when he was in the battle. We know the battle's the Lord's. He said, you've come to me with spears and shields and all that type of thing, but we're coming in the name of the Lord, and the battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into my hand. And he was right. God did deliver that giant into his hand. And him being just probably, he might not even been barely over 5 foot, him being a teenager. But this man was 9'9", and come out with all his gear on, a man of war, older man, like my brother said, probably 500 or so pounds, and a real warrior. But when David killed him, all the Philistines ran, and they went. It strengthened the hearts of the Israelites, and they went after him. And beat them down, and they ran back in their own countries, and they spoiled their tents. And God got a great victory that day, just like he did with all these other people here, because they were men and women of faith. And I appreciate what God does for the heart and what he's done for the souls that he saved here. And I'm looking for more to be saved. And y'all keep praying for me and keep praying for my friend. He's stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And if the Lord does take him on out according to the physical, and stage 4 pancreatic cancer is, you know, they gave him 3 to 12 months to live. And only the Lord can heal him, but I don't know. But the main thing is, like I said, I want to make sure he's safe too. And I did tell him, I said, that's what's coming from the heart. And those things are still in the heart when somebody's unsaved. And they have no guilt about them because they're not born again. And out of the heart flow the issues of life. And when those type of things are coming from the heart, then the person's never been saved. And I said, when you get born again, when I told him about what happened to me, I said, when you get born again, God saves you and he changes you and make you a brand new person. You don't have those desires anymore. And if you do fall to sin, there's a grief there inside the soul because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. But he thanked me. He told me, he said, thank you for sharing that with me. If he has been saved, he's not been around anybody that's real. It's another denomination, and a lot of it's carrying on different types of things that they do. But he tells it, you know, when he talks, he don't carry on and talk of talk like I've had other people do that are religious, but he tells it straight up. But I hope he is. I hope he really repented. And but y'all pray for him that the Lord will make it known to him. That's what I'm asking God to have mercy. Make him know it. It's more important than anything else in this world. And God does get people's attention. And it's more important that they, like Jesus said, if they go into to heaven with missing a hand or an eye or a leg or something like that, than to go into hell when you have a whole body when you die, than to lose your soul and drop off into hell. It's better that God gets your attention. Whatever he needs to do to get his attention, that's what I want. I'm not wishing harshness on him or nothing, but I don't want him to end up dying and sin and going to hell. And God will save him. I'm looking for him too, but y'all keep him in prayer and keep me in prayer too. I love y'all.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while your Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God thy face, but today accept his grace. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? In the world you fail to find all that bleeds for troubled mind. Come to Christ, on him believe, peace and joy you shall receive. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?